Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How you doing? How you feeling? Off the top, as always, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for listening. I mean, you could be doing anything, but you're taking this 20 minutes out of your day, time that you can't get back to listen to me, and I appreciate it. So thank you so much. And please tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a coworker, tell somebody, your neighbor. Help me grow my podcast, people. Oh, man. Yeah, so I'm kind of sick right now, so I apologize. I usually start off with my milestone, as you all know. And for those who don't know, I have a five-year-old son. And his name is Miles, and I like to do these milestones. So his thing now, he likes to watch Russian alphabet videos on YouTube. So, yeah, that's his thing. Like, he's even starting to write it, the Russian alphabet. It's so bizarre. But, you know, I used to tell him, like, hey, man, just watch something that you can understand. But then I realized that was kind of dumb. He's five. So I'm going to let him watch these Russian alphabet videos. And if he learns some Russian, he learns some Russian. That'll be absolutely fitting in today's environment when they take over our country. No. But we also had his very first parent-teacher conference today. And very, very, very proud of my boy, man. He had the best rating scores in the class. And she said he's the most talented kid in the kindergarten in his kindergarten class. And that makes me feel good, man. My wife does a great job working with him. I can't take much credit, you know. So that's the role of a husband. You got to downplay your role. But she does a good job. We parent equally. But yeah, man, she's worked hard with him, and it's paying off. And I just want to make sure I foster all these talents and desires that he has to learn. So that's my biggest fear, is not really fostering these skills that he has, or these attributes. But all right, I don't want to go down that road. I get too emotional talking about my little boy, man. I love him to death. God, ugh. I just hope one day he doesn't realize, like, man, my dad's a real piece of shit. I'm a flawed man. I'm not great. Got a lot of shit going on in my head. But, all right, I'm not going to bring it down. I'm not going to bring the podcast down. I'm not going to do it. This week, man, I really want to talk about the time that I had this past weekend. At the Rogue Island Comedy Festival in Newport, Rhode Island, put on by my buddy Doug Key. I met Doug about a year and a half ago in Providence, Rhode Island, when I was working with my buddy Mark Normand, and we hit it off. We kept in touch. We went to Cape Fear Comedy Festival together. We've done a couple other shows together, and he's a cool dude, man. And he has a festival that he's been putting on for the last 3 years in Newport, where he's from, but he lives in New York now. But no special treatment, man. I had to submit a three-person panel, and I got lucky, and I got in, you know. But have been looking forward to it. I think this is the first time I've ever done a festival where I didn't know anybody, so I was kind of nervous about that. And so, first off, let me say this. I haven't flown in a while, and it seems like every time I do fly, it's so far and few between that so many rules have changed. I got this basic economy ticket where you don't even get an overhead compartment space at all. You just either got to check your bag, or you just have a backpack, something you can put underneath the seat. So I thought my carry-on luggage was going to fit underneath the seat. They go, hey, it's not going to fit. That'll be $50. I'm like, what the fuck? She's like, oh, yeah, out front at the counter there, it's $25. But back here, it's $50. I was just like, there's no fucking way I'm paying that. I was like, that shit's not happening. And it didn't. I wasn't paying that. That's, you know what? I hate airline executives. It's such a greedy fucking business. If there was ever an apocalypse, they would be the first people that I sought out, and I would murder them in front of their families. They're all greedy pieces of shit. I hate those people. You fuck people out of their money, families fly, and their luggage costs as much as a goddamn ticket. You pieces of shit. Y'all been milking this fucking charging for luggage thing since 9/11. Fuck all of you guys. I can't wait until they invent another mode of travel. We get bullet trains where we don't need these fucking airlines. I hate these goddamn assholes. I hate it. All these different classes and groups. And oh, if you're in this class, you can board through this lane. What the fuck does it matter? You can walk here on the left on this piece of carpet. And people eat that shit up. They make it seem like you're better than somebody. Because you get to walk in this other lane and they got different carpet. Maybe I'm talking shit because I'm not an elite flyer. But I think if the shit goes down, you're not gonna get a business class or a first class crash. You're all fucking going down, and some poor kid in forensics is gonna have to dig through the rubble to find your fucking body. I hate the airlines. I hate them, but I need them. I hate United. No, it was American. I'm just going off on this fucking tangent about this shit. But, sorry about that. I keep apologizing. This shit's pissing me off. I fucking hate these people. I hate them. Ugh. So I fly out. Decent flights, short layovers. I get there to Newport, Rhode Island. I mean, this town is picturesque. I'm glad that I'm doing this stuff at 37, because when you're young, you're so worried about looking gay, and so you can't appreciate scenery. You gotta say some shit like, it's all right. You know what I'm saying? It's all right. It's cool. It's mad bitches out there, but this is like, I'm 38 now. And I can go out there to Newport, Rhode Island, and see all the little picturesque colonial-style homes, the cobblestone roads, all these nice old wooden boats. And I can go, you know what? This is beautiful scenery. The air smells great. I can appreciate it. I can voice it. And I don't have to feel weird about it. I'm past that point in my life. It's a beautiful, beautiful town. When you see Newport is a town where you see people wearing like Yale and Harvard sweatshirts or shirts, they went there. This is how rich it is. They filmed Amistad there, so it was a little weird feeling being in a town where they kind of filmed a slave movie, but beautiful town. So I get in, my buddy Doug's friend Rob Green, who I met in New York, he picks me up in Providence from the airport. We drive all the way to Newport. It's about an hour. We stop at this real cool brewery because this thing is sponsored. We pick up these beers, like six, actually like 10 cases of beer. They got a really cool little pit bull there. I get to see some of the canning process. It's just like just a real cool operation they got there, and they love comedy, and they were really supportive of Doug, and they gave us a shit ton of free beer. And so we get back down to Newport, and Doug actually set up some Airbnbs for us. Nice Airbnbs. I mean, clean, several beds, cable, internet. I mean, and it's paid for. There's a nice deck out back overlooking a really old school baseball field, man. This thing is from probably like the 1920s. It's got like the green wooden structure on the outside of it. I mean, it's really nice. There were a couple of nights where they had like some minor league teams out there practicing. I don't think they're affiliated with any teams, but I mean, it's just a nice condo to stay in. I'm the first one there. I get there early because the flights out of here leave at like 6 o'clock in the morning and shit. So we have a nice lunch. It's just like, just really picturesque, man. You're going to this mom and pop cafe. All the food is great. It's like farm fresh. have a good time. We're all excited about the festival. I'm on the front page of the local entertainment paper, so that's dope. And slowly all the comics that I'm staying with, they trickle in, and I meet Phil Provenzio. He's a huge New York photographer. I'm a huge fan of his work. I'm so obsessed with New York comedy. I'm always, trying to keep up with the scene, who's hot, who's up and coming, what's going on. And he's one of the hottest photographers, if not the hottest photographer in New York. He shoots all the guys I look up to. His stuff is great, and I'm rooming with him. It's really cool. And another comic, her name was Irene Morales. Very cool. So we all, once they get settled in, we go down to the docks and the pier. We walk around and stuff, and I kind of get to know them a little bit. And it's just fun, man. It's just like when you meet comics and people in the comedy world, you have this kind of bond where you, even though if you don't know anybody, you guys have kind of been through the same thing. It's like when war vets meet, and they just have that mutual respect for each other, even though they might not have fought together. So yeah, we hang out, and my first show is at the Brick Alley Pub or something like that. Nice room. Before my show, I had the late show on Thursday. Before my show, I stopped by Studio 3. I meet Chris DiCello and some other comics. And that's a beautiful venue too, man. It's upstairs in this old bar. It's like a burlesque bar. It's really cool, man. It had like a stripper pole on the stage. And it's just, I went there to watch the show just to get kind of hyped up about comedy. And then that kind of got me in the mood. And I run back over to my show after I watched that for a while. And get to my show. And my show was even more packed. And man, the crowd was just ready, man. It's a small upstairs bar. Everybody's packed in. You know, it's really dark in there. They got a spotlight on the stage. There's a ton of comics. Everybody's drinking. It's just like people are just ready for comedy because they don't really have a scene there in Newport. So all these comics, they go up there, have a great set. I actually kind of had a panic attack, man. I had to, like, text my mom, my sister. I just freaked out. I don't know what it was. I don't know if I was afraid of, like, not doing well and in front of all these other like New York comics, but I freaked out. Had to text my mom. They had to bring me down. My buddy Greg Stone was there. I met him in New York about a year ago. We've been good friends, not good friends, but we talk quite often on social media about a lot of like just weird, obscure stuff. Like somebody I can just really connect with socially. And he's used to talking other comics down who have anxiety. And he just told me everything I need to hear, and I relax. I go up, I have a good set, it's a lot of fun. So we all hanging out there for a while, the show ends, and then we go back to the Mudville Cafe, which is actually the restaurant that's below the lofts that we're staying at. And Doug had a karaoke DJ there, so everybody's over there just drinking, I mean, just getting fucked up, laughing, talking about shows and people you know. And just doing karaoke, man. It was just a great night. Just so much fun. Just great night of comedy. And then for some reason, I don't even remember why, but people are like, hey, the bar closed. Let's go upstairs to our place. So all these comics come up to where we're staying at, and they basically just stay in our apartment till like almost 5 o'clock in the morning. People are talking comedy, busting balls, just telling stories. And it was just a great night, man. You got to just hanging out with other comics, man, and just shooting the shit, talking all the comics that you love, and just about different clubs and your experiences coming up, where you came from, how'd you get to New York, who you work with. Just so much fun. And then the next day, I want to go to the gym. I'm looking through my bag. I forget my shorts. I go walking around. I couldn't find workout shorts anywhere. I go to Lululemon. I was like, yeah, they probably got some shorts. I can find some guy stuff. They got workout gear. They wanted like $78 for a pair of shorts, so I'm not doing that. I ended up getting a ride to Walmart. I got some N1 basketball shorts. I feel like I just got out of prison. I'm wearing N1 basketball shorts. By that time, it's like late in the evening. I already had like a shitty but tasty brunch. So now it's just like I can't even go anywhere. I shouldn't have got this. these home fries and this steak sandwich. And yeah, so the working out thing just didn't happen. I go back, I take a nap, showtime, I go watch another show over at the Brick Alley Pub. I go over to another spot, Studio 3, the show's popping over there, having a good time, and meet a bunch of other comics, and I go do my show at the Firehouse Theater, real cool theater, real old. It's a BYOB, so they bring us a bunch of beers over there. We all drinking, laughing. The people who run the place are like really, really old, so they get pissed off if we even talk. So we gotta like step outside. But it's still fun. And I go over there, I have a good set. And I forgot to mention that a couple days before, well, the day before, Doug mentioned doing what they like to call an ambush type show. A friend of his who wanted to attend the fest could not. He was working. He works at a bar. It's called Poor Judgment. And he goes, "Hey, Doug, you should bring some of the comics down, and they can perform while the band is taking a break." And he was just like, "Yeah, we'll do like a little ambush show." And he asks me if I want to do it. I'm like, "Yeah, fine, I'll do it." And I totally forget about it. And at Firehouse, I do my set. I'm chilling. And they're like, "Oh, shit, you got to do that ambush show." I'm like, "God damn it. Fine." So I run down the street, and they told me before the show started, like, "Hey, this is a rowdy bar." And I get there. It's Newport, Rhode Island. There's women in there with pearls and shit. I mean, it's loud. It's not rowdy. I was expecting like bikers and just really strange looking people. But it is loud. I mean, they have live music going there, so it's pretty loud. So I get there and I meet Rosebud Baker, another good New York comic. She's there. She's on the show. And we're sitting at the bar, and people are just super loud. I was like, "This is not going to go well." And she's like, "No, it'll be fine. It'll be fine." Doug shows up, and he goes, "All right, we're going to go on in a few minutes." And so the band takes a break, and we're getting ready to announce the show. And it, like, once they stop playing music, it gets even louder. And Doug goes up, and he tries to, like, "Hey, we're going to do some comedy, everybody. You guys ready for some comedy?" Say if there's, like, 100 people in there, like, maybe 12 people clapping, you know, excited to see comedy. The rest of the crowd is just talking amongst themselves, just enjoying the bar. It's a Friday night. They're just doing, you know, just doing their thing. They came to see live music, and now they're not paying attention, and it's a shit show. And Rosebud is like, "This is not going to be good." She was like, "I just had a great set. I'm not going to ruin my night by doing this." So I was like, "Just fucking do it, man." And she was just like, "Ah, fuck that. It's not even worth it." So she decides not to go up. Doug has got this younger comic emceeing the show. He goes up. He's trying to do like these long, involved bits, talking about his girlfriend and his relationship. He's got a mic. He's on a PA system, and you can barely hear him. And Doug was like, "All right, we're going to bring you up." And he said he was going to do like maybe like 5 to 7. He gets to like 3, and he's just like, "I can't deal with this." So then they bring me up, and me being a little tipsy and a little angry, I go up, and I begin to just trash every single person in that bar. I'm trashing everybody. There was a dude wearing this weird linen outfit. I trashed him. There's a lady talking to a guy 3 feet away from me. She's trying to talk over me. I trash her. There's a bunch of finance looking guys in the back wearing these dumb baby blue, I'm in sports broadcasting in the 1970s, dumbass blazers. And I just go in on them. I go in on everybody. I trash Newport. And slowly but surely, everybody shuts up. They fucking hate me. And here comes this little like 5'5" white chick from out the back. She's like, "Where's the band? Bring on the band." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? This is comedy right now." And then she comes all the way up. She gets to my face, and she was just like, "Where's the band? Bring up the band. You suck." And I'm like, "You need to get out of my face right now." And she was like, "I'm 4 inches shorter than you. There's no way I'm in your face." I'm like, "Get out of my space. Get out of my face. Get out of here." And that's some shit that some chicks do, because they know you can't just elbow them right in the face. I hate that. That's not some shit a guy would do and not expect to get into a fight. I hate women that take advantage of that. There's, why would a woman of her size approach somebody that's 6'2", 265 pounds, and start yelling in their face? Unless you know nothing can be done to you. I hate that. I can't stand that shit. But she finally had enough of me, and she grabs the microphone out of my hand, and she's like, I will drop kick a baby. So I rip it out of her hand, and she walks away, and I trash her. And by this time, the crowd is completely silent. I even trashed the bartender for having us. And it just, when it was completely quiet, I was just like, I think I won. And I put the mic down and walked away. And they were so pissed off, we all had to get out of there. And it was so bad, the dude who, quote unquote, booked that ended up giving me like $25 for that. So then we went to another place where we had the after party, hung out with a bunch of comics. We drank some more. And then, of course, people were hammered. They were like, Doug, order us pizzas. So he ordered us pizzas. And of course, they had it sent back to our fucking apartment. So then it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and everybody stampedes over to our place. There's pizza, there's wings. Everybody's eating and drinking, talking shit. They finally wind down, and again at like 4 o'clock in the morning, everybody finally leaves. I get some sleep, and I can't find a ride back to Providence, so I have to take a city bus all the way back to Providence. It was only $2. Newport, nice suburban area, not too bad. I'm taking it at like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, not a lot of people on the bus. And then we get further into the trip, closer into the city, and here you got the trashy people. You got this New England dude, white dude, chin strap beard, fucking flat bill Boston hat, stickers on it, tank top, sweatpants. He's got a son. He seems like a guy that really doesn't have his shit together, but he's trying to be a good dad, but he just doesn't have his shit together. And it's like a 45-minute ride at this point. And his son has his fake hammer, and he's just beating on shit on the bus. Put the hammer down, kid. Get away from the door. What are you doing? We're going to go to the park. You want this? It was just like 45 minutes of this dad trying to control his son. It was just a shitty bus ride. And then we get downtown Providence. I have to take another bus to the airport. That's another 30 minutes. And this is like an inner city bus. And there's people with fucking groceries, dudes with 50 bags. I mean, it's just, I'm so glad I don't have to ride the bus anymore, because I forget how much of a shit show riding the bus is. But I finally get to the airport, and I come back home. Oh, you know what? When I was there, I meant to get a lobster roll, but I didn't, and I was dumb, and I got one in the airport, and it was shitty, and it was like $22, so that was fucking horrific. What a waste of money. It was cold, and the bun fell apart. It was not a good culinary experience there at the Providence Airport. But it's a small airport. Security is quick, so I was glad about that. But yeah, that was my trip. Hopefully it wasn't too boring, but I had a great time, man. I got to meet a lot of good people, a lot of funny comics. Shout out to Doug Key, Rob Green, Katie, and Rebecca. They were great. They had everything we could ever want. Every show had drinks, beers. They had snacks. They made sure we had food vouchers. I mean, the crowds were good. The venues were great. It was just a well-ran festival. TJ Miller headlined it. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see him. I left before he got there. But shout out to Doug Key and that whole group for putting that on, and maybe one day I can go back as a headliner. I'm hoping. It's a great festival. I had a great time. I learned a lot. Watching everybody learn some more about myself and my personality and how I am when it comes to a new group dynamic. So there's some things I got to work on personality-wise. But overall, great experience. And Phil Provenzio said he's going to be posting the rest of the pictures soon. So I have a Provenzio out there. I can't wait to see it. I'm super excited. That dude is such a talented photographer. I love photography. And there's a show. That's a show. Make sure you guys follow me on all my social media, Instagram and Twitter, at Chris Allen Comedy, A-L-A-N. I'll be opening for Todd Barry here in Charlottesville October 20th, if you live in town. October 21st, we'll be back. We will be back at the Andy Room with Host Battle. November, I got some shows in D.C. And, I'll be at the D.C. Improv the 3rd and 4th with Jack Knight again, so that should be fun. And December, I'm back in Albany at the Funny Bone with Mark Norman. And I just got other smaller shit going on. But, that's the show. Peace out, everybody. Thank you for listening.